Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, November 11th, 2015, and with me today, Kelly Goumont. I hope you're doing well, Kelly.
I am, and a happy Veterans Day to you, Jeff.
That's right. Happy Veterans Day. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. And yeah, thanks for every veteran for your service. We're very thankful. Yeah.
Yes, we do appreciate it. Thank you very much. Also appreciate the fact that we have Downcast as a sponsor this week. So that's cool.
All right.
We'll be talking about them soon. But before we get there, today is the day that Apple started pre-orders for the iPad Pro, the Apple Pencil, and the iPad Pro Smart Keyboard. And that started, I can't do time zone math very well right now. So I want to say
midnight Pacific.
Oh, was it midnight Pacific? Okay.
Yeah, a smidge after midnight Pacific, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, living in Colorado, everyone's time zone is off for me.
It's just not yours.
No, it's just not mine. No. Yeah, so pre-orders started, and if you pre-ordered your iPad Pro, you are going to get it starting on Friday, delivered to you. And if you ordered an Apple Pencil, you are waiting. Yeah, you did a really good brand impression right there. Nice. Yeah, you're going to be waiting, it looks like, a couple weeks or more to get your Apple Pencil and your Smart Keyboard.
That's a real shame. It's surprising to me that Apple would release those things out of sync with the iPad Pro. I'm sure it's production delays and, you know, all of those things that fall in the category of unavoidable or perhaps not easily avoidable.
Right.
But those are things that, to me, help to define what differentiates the iPad Pro. And so it's like you get, well, here you can have a taste now, and then down the road we've got these other things. The keyboard, not as much as the stylus. I don't know. Maybe the keyboard more than the stylus, or the pencil, rather.
Yeah. From my perspective, and granted, I have a very biased perspective because of my interest in art, I think the stylus, the Apple Pencil, is what is really going to set the iPad Pro apart.
It is. And but you're right. For that segment, it is, you're absolutely correct that the pencil is the most important thing. But the keyboard, to a different segment, and I don't know which is larger, so I guess that's where I'm having trouble reconciling it. But, you know, to a different segment, the keyboard is also the thing that makes it this pro device, right?
Yes.
You know, you get the full screen, you have gobs and gobs of power, computing power inside this thing, and the ability to multitask and all of that is sort of cramped when you use the on-screen keyboard. And that's fine, right, especially for portability and, pulling it out quickly and doing something. But I guess part of what this product is this it's got this duality to it, right? Where it's the closest hybrid between a laptop and a tablet that we've seen from Apple, and you don't get to experience that hybrid on day one if you buy it today,
right?
Which you can.
Yeah, the interesting thing about this rollout, we had vagueness before today, because we knew pre-orders were starting at some point, but we weren't given a specific time, and we knew that it would be in stores later this week. Well, it turns out that if you did a pre-order today, you could choose in-store pickup for today, which is actually what I did. So after today's show goes live on a Mac Observer website, I'm hopping in the car, I'm heading over to the Apple store and picking mine up, but I won't have an Apple Pencil to go with it. Although I am going to ask, because what I'm hoping is that they have some in store that you can buy if you go in, but they just didn't have the inventory to send out with all the pre-orders an Apple Pencil.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we don't have confirmation that these things don't exist in the stores yet. In fact, we do have some confirmation that they exist in one of the stores
in
Boise or something, right?
Yeah. Right. And, but it sounds like in Boise, it's a very limited inventory. So, hey, if you're around Boise, go pick up your Apple Pencil right away. And for the rest of us, we'll be
waiting. Because it's entirely possible there is one.
Yeah, or was one, because they may have sold it by now. But
that's true.
I do find it odd that just what you said, Dave, that you can buy an iPad Pro today, but the accessories that really set it apart aren't going to be available for a couple of weeks, at least for the majority of people.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the reviews came out, and of course, the reviewers got to experience all of this. Apple has some inventory of them that they could send out. And so, yeah, there's this disconnect. I mean, 6 months from now, I don't think it matters, right? No. I don't think that this lag right now is going to have such a huge negative impact on the product that it just flops, right? I think the product will succeed or fail on other merits, and the delay in getting pencils and keyboards out for them is not going to be a factor. But it does sort of shake the confidence in Apple, right? You know, this was a weird rollout of this thing.
We've had two weird rollouts.
But
in
this is the year of the weird rollout to me, because all of this has been, remember, the Apple Watch was, you can make an appointment to come into the store so we can walk you through the website in order to order one. Like,
yeah,
there was
but that
no,
wasn't new.
They
that
waved
was the
you
gateway
off.
Model. Right.
Yeah. Right. But that was they waved you off of walking into an Apple store to purchase an Apple Watch until like June. So there was that, which was weird, and that was like, you know, earlier this year. And then like the new MacBook, the 12-inch MacBook came sort of the same time, and it was like, yeah, maybe you can order one, you might be able to get it in store. There was never like a, it's out now. It just sort of started appearing in person in places, as opposed to just on a banner on the side of the Apple store. And then after that, we had the sort of standard issue iPhone launch, where there was limited in-store pickup. There was nobody that was waiting in line sort of on spec. They didn't really, they did that like all, you know, a little differently than they have in the past. And then the Apple TV, which was a lot of pre-orders, I think, probably got shipped back because everybody could walk into a store and buy one before the one that they pre-ordered would show up. And now we're having this one, which is another weird sort of like maybe, but maybe not. Because I know a number of people in my Twitter feed have said that their pencil is expected to show up next week. And we're in the middle of this week, so it's not like that's far. So I'm sort of wondering, like, it would be nice. I understand the whole thing about like not telling us about new products way in advance, or, you know, leaking any of that information. And I understand that, and that's fine. But it would be nice if we could count on launches to always sort of have the same experience.
Well, okay. And speaking of that, one thing that I found to be very interesting is that the launch that really stands out this year as the separator from all the other launches was the new Apple TV. And it took that one launch to get so many of us that have been trained and conditioned for years to get up at midnight and place a pre-order, go back to bed so that later in the week, we get our product before anyone else can have it. And then the Apple TV thing happens. And now we have iPad Pro. And the first thing that I heard people saying was, I'm not sure if I'm pre-ordering this time because we don't know what Apple does.
And Apple proved that they are unpredictable on this. And I grok unpredictability. I mean, there's a marketing benefit in that, but not in this way. You know, it's good to surprise people, but to confuse them and to leave things ambiguous. And now, like, the next product launch is even more. It's like, well, which model are they going to follow? A, B, C, D, or
something
Q. G?
Yes,
right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
or purple.
It's weird. Yeah, I mean, again, I said before, I don't think this you know, phased rollout of the iPad and its the iPad Pro and its accessories is going to hurt the iPad Pro in the long term. And I do believe that. But I think the watch's rollout hurt the sales of the watch, because there were people that came in, would have bought based upon excitement and did not. And then justified their decision not to purchase, as opposed, right, when somebody walks in and can buy it, they're going to buy it, and then they're going to justify their purchase decision, right? We all suffer from this, right, you know, post-purchase blues. So we go out and we, you know, like, oh no, it's really good. Don't worry about what the naysayers say. You know, this part of it's awesome. But instead, yeah, Apple had teams of people that could not buy it, mm-hmm, and so justified their decision not to buy by
just
saying,
saved,
well, see,
$500.
Yeah, I just say $500. Those reviews are saying it's kind of a, you know. And I think that actually did hurt the watch. To say that the watch is hurting would be an incorrect assessment of my description just now. I don't think the watch is hurting, but I think it hurt the watch. Yeah.
Right. It hurt the launch. Absolutely.
It hurt the launch.
I think it hurt sales. I really do. Yeah. Cuz there was this perception that became the majority perception. It was like, yeah, you know, do I really need it? And when people ask me that, I know where it's coming from. They're like, so you have one, right? I'm like, yeah. They're like, is it cool? I'm like, it's okay. They're like, but I don't really need it, right? And the answer is no, you don't really need it.
No.
Instead of them saying, you have one, right? Yeah. Is it cool? Yeah. Don't you love the part about where it gets to do this? Yeah, right? That's not the third question. The third question is, but I don't really need it, right?
Yeah.
I think it hurt.
Yeah, you know, when you put it that way, I think you're right. I think it did hurt. Now, in comparison, the weird Apple TV rollout, I don't think is hurting sales there at all. And I think the only people that even had anything to complain about were those of us that are in the echo chamber that got up at midnight, couldn't buy it because pre-orders hadn't started. And then at whatever it was, 10 in the morning, when they did start, we pre-ordered, only to find out later on that we could get one faster in the store. The rest of the world, they didn't know. They walked into a store and bought an Apple TV and walked out. And they
were fine. A new Apple TV. I should get one. Yeah.
Yeah. And
And look what being Pavlovian gets you, apparently. Yeah. Well, everybody got up at midnight for nothing. Like, I'm sure there are people out there who have a workflow. Like, you know, they've got some sort of weird setup with if this, then that, watching Apple PR pages. And when it talks about something, you know, if the word pre-order is in the headline of the press release, then automatically set my alarm for midnight on, you know, a particular date.
And flash my Hue lights red.
Yeah, just to make sure that everything, you know, just to make sure that they can get in on the pre-order, because we've seen dramatic delays in pre-orders. I mean, remember, there were people who ordered when the Apple Watch first went on pre-order before you could even get appointments in stores to look at them. There were people who, I think it was the beginning of March, and they weren't going to get a watch until July.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, with iPad Pro, the way this launch is happening, while we have noted and to a small degree complained about the way the rollout has happened, I don't think this is going to have a negative impact on iPad Pro sales. I think the majority of people that are planning on buying an iPad Pro, they're not even aware that there is a thing where they could pre-order to get it a few days later than if they walked in the store. And then in a couple weeks, when Apple Pencils and smart keyboards are more readily available, this will all be distant history, and people are going to be buying and happy, and it'll be just fine. I think this is another echo chamber complaint issue for the most part. What do you guys think?
I'll buy that. Yep. Yep.
All right. All I need is one person giving me validation, and there you go.
Yeah.
Well, I think so. I totally think so. Yeah. I just looked really quick at, the reason I was delayed in replying is because I was trying to check. If you go on right now, I just pulled out my phone and tried the Apple Store app, and I can get a Wi-Fi 128 gig space gray iPad Pro, November 23rd. I can get it on November 25th if I go for free shipping, and it looks like the same time frame if I set it to in-store pickup. So there you go.
So there you go. Yeah. Well,
either way, you can have it before Thanksgiving.
There you go. Yeah. You can have it before Thanksgiving.
And that's not, you know, considering that this is the day that they became available, that doesn't seem unreasonable to me to wait a couple of weeks. So,
yeah. Nope. And hey, speaking of things you don't have to wait till Thanksgiving for, If you need a better podcast management app on your iPhone or iPad, you totally need to check out Downcast. And I need to have Brian listen to that segue because it just beats the pants off of any of his. But then again, mine wasn't a non sequitur. So there's that. Anyhow, Downcast, they're a sponsor this week. And that's actually the podcast app that I'm using on my iPhone right now. And yes, they are a sponsor. No, that's not why I use their app. I use it because it's actually the best podcasting app for me. I love that it gives me a really nice control over the way I manage and sort my podcasts. I can create smart playlists, which that's actually kind of cool. I didn't think it's something I would use at first, but I like having this kind of auto sorting thing happening. It's just kind of fun. I like that I can start listening on my iPhone and then later on hop over to my iPad and it'll pick up where I left off. That's really cool. That's actually syncing that happens through iCloud. Just overall, I am really happy with the way Downcast works. It turns out this is the right podcast management app for me. I really prefer it over Apple's podcasting app. I also like that it's not expensive. It's only $3, $2.99, and it's totally worth picking up. I think you should go grab a copy. And the way you can do that, here's the easy way. Use this URL, downcast.fm/TDO. And when you use that URL, what's going to happen is that you're going to go right to the App Store where the app is, so you don't actually have to search for it. And it also lets a Downcast crew know that you heard about the app on our show. And they like that too, because validation, it's great for everyone. So go check it out. Downcast, it's $2.99 for iOS. There's also a Mac version if you want to listen to podcasts on your Mac as well. Downcast.fm/TDO. Go pick up a copy. And thank you, Downcast, for being our sponsor this week. Okay, one thing that I wanted to talk about real quick before we wrap up, because we are running out of time. Apple has pulled another app from the App Store, and this one is called InstaAgent, and they pulled it because what it does is not what it purports to do. The app supposedly would let you get a view into who has been looking at your Instagram profile. And for some people, that's actually kind of important. They want or need to know who has been checking them out on Instagram. So it sounds like a great idea. The problem is what the app was actually doing was harvesting your Instagram username and password and sending it as clear text to someone's server in some country. And then at least for some Instagram users, they were turning around and using that login information to post whatever images they wanted on your account. So Apple pulled the app from the App Store, but the thing is, it did make it onto the App Store before anyone realized there was a problem. And between the App Store users, meaning iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and the Google Android device users, because there's a Google Play version as well, there's about 500,000 people that downloaded this app. So if you used InstaAgent, stop, go and change your Instagram password right now. And that way you'll be safe, or at least secure, knowing that they don't have access to your account anymore. And there you go. That's just a nice little PSA that I wanted to get out for everyone. And before we wrap up, Dave and Kelly, I'm curious, do you guys have any thoughts on this specific malware app that made it onto the App Store?
Wow. I mean, that's that requires a lot of planning on the developer's part to create this this app that provides functionality for people. I mean, it's brilliantly mischievous, right?
Yes.
And I don't say that to defend them at all. I just say, you know, this is the kind of, we were talking about, you know, phishing attempts and all of that the other day on this show. And this is like, I mean, this is a whole other level of that, right? We're going to give you functionality and steal from you at the same time. And it's like, man, that's it's hard to be able I mean, like this shatters trust, right? When something like this happens, but it shatters trust everywhere because we can't expect Apple to have caught this, right? I mean, we could want Apple to have caught this, but it's unrealistic with the number of apps that are in the store and how much we complain about, you know, the reviews process needs to be faster and all of this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are buying apps for free or for a dollar and certainly don't want to pay any more than that. You know, it's we can't expect Apple to catch these things. And it's just, you know, so how do you choose who to trust? It really, you have to make your own choices and take a look at an app. And if it's brand new, understand that new and shiny also means, you know, unknown. If it's coming from a developer you've never heard of before, right? Yeah, right. You know, and it's one thing for a member of the press to say, hey, I tried this and it's cool. It's different when a member of the press says, hey, a friend of mine wrote this and I tried this and it was cool, right?
Yeah.
And one is I trust the person before I knew about it. And the other was I have no idea who this person was before I knew about this app. So it's
right.
And there's a lot going on here. It raises the stakes is what it does.
It does. Now, my expectation is that now that Apple is aware of this app and they have pulled it from the App Store, they have done a thorough dissection of the code and they have improved their vetting process already based on what they learned from this app. So similar apps have a far lower likelihood of getting through the screening process than they previously did.
Well, and that was my question, was what exactly the review process entails. And I know that Apple's never going to tell us that. But I'm curious what you have to go through, you know, particularly with an app that is presumably a known quantity. Like, this is going to hook to Instagram and it's going to tell you stuff about Instagram. Okay, like, that doesn't seem, you know, it doesn't seem like something that you would have been able to easily discover that this is what it was doing. You know, just based on like I'm looking through the app. So for me, what was interesting was, well, you know, my first question was, how did this get into the App Store? Well, obviously they're not doing this in a very clear fashion. You know, you don't get a little pop-up that says, I'm going to send your stuff to some random server in another country. Okay. Like that's not what's happening. So I would like to know how it managed to make it through the review process without that being something that was seen. And I would also, I know we're never going to find out. I would also be curious how the process has been adjusted to make sure that this kind of stuff doesn't happen in the future. But like Dave said, you know, it's a trust issue. I don't hold Apple necessarily responsible for this. This isn't something Apple is trying to do. So, what surprised me about hearing about this was initially when I heard about it, it was because it was an Android app. And then I heard later there was also an iOS version. So, oddly, it did not surprise me that the Android version was doing this to people, but it did surprise me to find out that the iOS version was.
Yeah, well, I'm glad it was caught before we ended up with like a million people that got burned. Also, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. But I want to let people know there's another app on the App Store called InstaAgent that's still there. This is not the same app that was pulled. There were two apps with the same name. The bad InstaAgent is gone. The good InstaAgent, which actually, as far as I know, does nothing with Instagram, is or maybe it does. I don't know, but I don't think it does. Anyhow, it's still there. So if you go and you search the App Store for InstaAgent and you see an app that's there, don't worry. It's not the malware app. And with that,
that's good to know. Thank you for that, Jeff.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure. I figured some people would go and look and they'd be like really worried about what they found. So now you know. And with that, we really are out of time. So
all right.
Thank you, Kelly, for being here.
Of course.
And Dave, thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
And Downcast, thank you for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, downcast.fm/TDO, and pick up a copy of Downcast for managing your podcasts. I'm very pleased with it. I think you would be too. Listeners, thank you for joining us, and we'll see everyone again tomorrow.